All right. Hey, it's the weekend. Fritz Berger and Blood and Faith.com, 15 September 2023. I want to talk about Christian nations. Return to the larger subject at hand. And when you read the scriptures, when you read the Bible, it doesn't take a lot of time at all to realize that the Almighty is extraordinarily interested in the group. He's extraordinarily interested in the nations or the nation. If you read the Kings and the Chronicles and Jeremiah and Isaiah and the Exodus and the Genesis, you learn that the Almighty's game plan is for a race and a nation, and indeed for nations, for multiple nations. A nation is a bloodline. And if you read the Holy Scriptures, you understand that a nation is a bloodline. They come from a common ancestor. And this is problematic for the church because for so many generations now, we've allowed the atomization of human society in the church. We've said all that matters is you get born again. I'm specifically speaking about kind of the Protestant evangelical church. That makes a difference, but it probably includes pretty much everybody. Baptists, Pentecostals, Charismatic, Catholics maybe, I don't know. And we've allowed the atomization of a human being. And that's never been God's plan. God has a plan not just for your family, not just for you as an individual, but for entire nations, for races, for ethnic groups. And the Bible is very clear, Acts chapter 17. He says he took from one and he created many different nations and he divided up these bloodlines, gave them their own times and their boundaries. If you go back and read the Table of Nations, Genesis chapter 10, I want to say, you have the nations coming out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God created different nations to see where they would go and what they would do. And he enforced the division of them at Babel by giving them different languages. From the very beginning, the Almighty has been interested in races, ethnic groups, and I'll call them nations because normally in the Bible it calls them nations. And the nation of ancient Israel, nothing to do with the current entity called Israel over there in the Middle East, nothing to do with them whatsoever. We hopefully we'll get to that today. Was supposed to be an example. Here's a nation that serves God. And it was to be an example to every other race or ethnic group or nation. It's like, here's, I don't know, millions of people, 3 million, 5 million, however many it was. Common language, common ancestor, distinct and enforceable borders, common culture, a common law, which is the Ten Commandments, which is for every nation. Ten Commandments is for every nation. And the Almighty made a covenant with that nation based upon the obedience of that nation as a whole to the Ten Commandments. Now, does that mean that every person, every time, always obeyed the Ten Commandments? Of course not. Of course not. That's why there's a blood sacrifice for sin. Not only the sins of individuals, but for the sins of the nation. In case some have sinned that you don't even know about, there's atonement for that. But as a corporate entity, the nation had sworn allegiance to Jesus Christ. I've covered that a lot here at bloodandfaith.com. The allegiance that Moses had was to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who spoke with Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friends. Exodus 33:11. Now, we know it was Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ said, look, guys, nobody's seen the Father. Nobody's seen the Father. So who was Moses talking to if he was speaking to God, if he was speaking to the Lord? He's speaking to Jesus Christ pre-incarnation, Jesus Christ who is the creator. It's the same Jesus Christ that Adam and Eve spoke to. How could they see the Father if Jesus said nobody's seen the Father? Then his disciples said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it's Jesus Christ all along the line, from Adam and Eve to Abraham to Moses, you name it. And so the first commandment is a sworn oath of loyalty as a nation to Jesus Christ as their monarch. And you could say, well, you know, the monarch's not here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the monarch's here or ruling from abroad. If you're a British subject, the queen lives on a different continent for most subjects of the British crown. And Jesus Christ was very clear in the gospel. He says, look, the dude's going away. He's going to go to a foreign land, but he'll be back. And ancient Israel worshipped Jesus Christ, didn't know him by that name, even though he was not physically present, although you could argue that he certainly was as they came out of Egypt. Besides the details, my bigger issue is this. Where in the church do you hear pastors and preachers talking about building literally Christian nations? And they don't anymore. And it's partly a dearth of solid theology. Partly it's a dearth of encouragement. Partly it's ignorant. Partly it's fear. But we've allowed the gospel to be atomized so that all we want is your soul. All we want is your soul. Say the sinner's prayer, be converted, we're good. You're good, we're good, everything's good. Every once in a while, church will get bold and say, well, we need to have a cultural evangelism, which is true. But that's more than just, let's have a play about Jesus in, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane. We need to have a vision of Christian nations. Now, part of this is difficult because we live in a multi-ethnic, multicultural empire where the seed of the serpent, the children of the devil, thrive. Book of Esther is a perfect example and proof of this. The Whore of Babylon. Esther's the Whore of Babylon. Even though she was not in Babylon, she was in Persia. But it's a good example of this. The people become the whore. It's a false wife, and they make false allegiances. In Esther, they make an allegiance to themselves and said, we are who we are. We're the Jews. They set up a whole new national feast called Purim, the god of chance. And they took power in a multicultural empire, and they started murdering foreign people. Now, in the United States, one of the founding, it's not a founding myth, when the United States was founded in 1600, these were a white race of English speakers that worshiped Jesus Christ. They had a vision. They wanted to build a Christian nation in North America. And many, many, many of the early pilgrims and Puritans came over in order to build a homogeneous Christian nation in that portion of North America. That is a Christian nation. Now, this isn't to say that the French could not have done the same thing in Quebec. And I suspect they did, the French Huguenots, to build a Christian nation with their race, with their nation. But how many centuries has it been since people have talked about this, even in the church? We talk about the church universal. God loves everybody. Everybody's accepted into the church. And there's the atomization of human society into just this individual. And now outside of the church, although it's seeping into the church, you even atomize that individual. You take the not only have you taken the individual out of the culture, out of the nation, out of the borders, but now you're saying, okay, now I got you down to here. Now we're going to continue to deconstruct you. You're no longer male or female. You're no longer a heterosexual. You can be a multisexual. And you're no longer maybe even genetically human. We're going to modify your genes, modified RNA. We're going to stick chips in you and electronics in you and chemical substances in you and cause you to evolve. So the atomization of the individual was completed. Now we're going to deconstruct the individual. All this is the work of the Antichrist that's already here and ruling. Okay, I'm done with this stuff that the Antichrist is coming. Forget the idea that the Antichrist is coming and the beast is coming and the 666 is coming. We already live under it. I'm telling you, we already live under the Antichrist and the beast and the 666. But we always put it out there. Oh, it's going to come. It's going to come any day now. Can't buy or No. We're already there. And if you've heard me talk about the Antichrist, what is the Antichrist? It's he who rejects the Father and the Son. Who rejects that? A lot of people. What's the blasphemy? What's the blasphemy of the beast? Is that not a world in which our kids go to school and they're taught that religion is just a figment of man's imagination? I don't know what you're looking for in the blasphemy. I think many people think that people are going to say, oh, I curse God, I curse Jesus. No, that's actually not even as bad. At least they acknowledge the reality of Jesus Christ and God Almighty. The blasphemy that they say is that God's never existed. It's simply a figment of human imagination. That's the blasphemy of the beast that we live in, have lived in for, really, it started coming out of the French Enlightenment, so 250 years. 300 years? 300 years? 3 centuries now? Oh, the great fall away is going to come. No, the great following away has been coming for 3 centuries now. Oh, the great deception is coming. No, the great deception is already here. Even the church believes in evolution. If you follow my Gab account, you'll realize I have some deep questions about the spinning globe theory. Now, that may turn some of you off. Some of you may say, I'm not going to listen to you again. That's fine. I would like you to realize, I would like the church and the pastors to realize the desperate situation that we're in. We've completely removed the individual from race, family, culture, borders, people, a nation. The church doesn't even care, doesn't even mind. Oh, that's fine. We're all one in God. Really? Okay, and so you're probably down to unisex bathrooms right now, aren't you? When you go back and you read the Holy Scriptures, God's very interested in the nation. Oh, Fritz, you don't understand. We're all one in Christ. No, I understand that. I understand that very clearly. I also understand that the day of Pentecost, God didn't give everybody one language. I'm going to reaffirm the validity of me dividing the languages like I did at Babel. He reaffirmed that. And Jesus Christ reaffirmed loyalty to one's ancestors in Matthew 15. He reaffirmed the fifth commandment, which is loyalty to one's race and one's ancestors. But we live in a society, we live in a multicultural, beastly empire. If you go back and you look at the beasts in the book of Daniel, these are these global empires. You can compare it to the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Medes, the Greeks, the Romans. I don't even know if the Egyptians were as multicultural as the rest of them, but they were at least multicultural in that they had Hebrews and Egyptians there. They didn't mix. And it is a fact that these people who call themselves Jews, we might talk about that, excel in that environment, and that's why they want that. And the historical enemy of anybody that calls himself Jew is people that call themselves Christians. And historically, that's been the white race. That's why the Jews want to flood Europe and North America and Australia and New Zealand with non-whites and non-Christians to consolidate that multi-ethnic empire and to genocide the white race. I know. Conspiracy theory, but it's not. It's not. Go read the book of Revelation, Acts, let's say chapter 12, chapter 13. Dragon barfs up a sea of vomit, trying to swallow up the children of the woman. You go back and look at the study of Europe about how there was the African and the Muslim invasion, then there was the Mongolian invasion from the east. Invasion after invasion. Never worked. Christian men stood up and said, no, we're going to resist this. We're going to fight this to the death. It cost us our lives. It took the Spaniards 700 years. That was a Christian commitment for 7 centuries to drive the Muslim out of European lands, Christian lands. That vision's gone in the church. Got no understanding of this whatsoever. Seen from this perspective, it's understanding why pastors don't want to talk about it, because the lift's too heavy. I can't do that. But I'm telling you flat out, our destiny is annihilation. The genocide of the white race and the Christian race, if we don't turn our mind around. It's that bad. I got the vision for it. That's why I do what I do here at bloodandfaith.com. And it angers the the synagogue of Satan. I was going to mention that. I was going to talk about Jews. The question, what's a Jew? Jesus Christ looks at the Jews in Genesis 8:48. He says, you're father of the devil. In Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, he says, those who call themselves Jews but are not, but are liars. So what's up with that? It's a great question. I got a question for you guys. In case you didn't notice, I'm a man. If I stood up right here and said, hey, I'm a woman, would you believe me? God, I hope not. Can anybody just say, hey, I'm a Jew? I've been talking about this a little bit. Can Marilyn Monroe say, hey, I'm a Jew? Can Daniel Silva, an author, say, hey, you know, yesterday I wasn't a Jew, but today I'm a Jew? Can they just do that? Can a Japanese, I don't know, musician or somebody famous that's just pure ethnic Japanese, hey, I'm a Jew, now is he a Jew? Can anybody just say, hey, I'm a Jew today, so, you know, you have to respect me because I'm God's chosen and I'm, you know, I'm the child of Jacob renamed Israel because I said I am. If Mahatma Gandhi stood up and said, I'm a Jew, some of you don't know who that is, he's a guy from India, said, I'm a Jew, does that make him a Jew? If Adolf Hitler woke up and said, hey, I'm a Jew, does that make him a Jew? Donald Trump's daughter says, hey, I'm a Jew. Does that make her a Jew? She did, by the way. She converted to Judaism. Liz Taylor says, I'm a Jew. Does that make her a Jew? What's a Jew? Well, I don't know about that. Book of Esther, chapter 8, verse 17. Many, many different nations and peoples joined themselves to the Jews because they feared the Jews. They said, we're going to be Jews too. Obviously, they couldn't change their genetics. But they became Jews. 200 years before the birth of Christ, the sons of Esau, Edomites, converted to Jew. They became Jew. Well, how did they do that? Well, they got circumcised, and then they started following the Talmud. Actually, they didn't have the Talmud back. They followed the teachings of the Pharisees. The traditions of the elders, which Jesus Christ hated. The precepts of man and the traditions of the elder, Matthew chapter 15. Jesus Christ hates these. That eventually gets written down a couple of centuries after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's called the Talmud. About 7-8 centuries after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, a nation, an ethnic group, a people, a race called Khazars converted to the Talmud. They make up the vast bulk of European Jewry. Can anybody just raise their hand and say, hey, I'm a Jew? I'm a Jew today. I wasn't yesterday, but I'm a Jew today. Those who call themselves Jews but are not, but are liars in Satan's synagogue. Well, let's take a real Jew. Let's take a real Jew. I'll give you a real Jew. Judas Iscariot. That's a real Jew. Is he the chosen people of God? He was actually the one of the 12 disciples that actually was from the land of Judea. He was actually from the land of Jewry. He was the one of the 12 that was from the land of the Jewry. The rest were Galileans. Jesus Christ in his Bible is called Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus the Galilean. The Jews never called him a Jew. Are they Jews because they've chosen the Talmud? They've chosen the teachings of the elders, the precepts of man? What is the Antichrist? It's he who rejects the Father and the Son. If you don't have the Son, you do not have the Father. And so the modern evangelical today, I'll just say it, they worship the Antichrist. The modern evangelical worships the Antichrist. They ship worth to the Antichrist. Well, give money, vote money, give them money, charities. They all bow down and grovel before this corporate ethno-religious entity called the Jew, which utterly rejects the Son. And these ethnic people, they reject Jesus Christ. This people who called themselves Jews murdered Jesus Christ, according to Stephen, according to Paul, according to the words of Jesus Christ. He looked at me and said, "Why are you trying to kill me?" You know what the Talmud says about Jesus Christ, that he's boiling in a pot of human feces in hell. I hope you know about that. There's a lot of stuff out. I tend to stay away from this because I want you to have a theological foundation. Book of Esther, many different peoples are converted. 8 verse 17, many people are converting to become Jew. Herod the Great, by all historical accounts, was from Esau. He's an Edomite. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, says the Lord God Almighty. And they thrive in multi-ethnic, multicultural environments. God said, I don't like multicultural, multi-ethnic environments. Uh-oh, now Fritz is the racist. All right, they did a multicultural, multi-ethnic environment. It was called the Tower of Babel. Jesus Christ shows up. He didn't like that. I said, that's not what I told you. I told you to spread out. And so he went down there and he enforced racial segregation by changing their languages, forcing them to spread out. That's one of the reasons the ancestors of Abraham started migrating out of that valley. The Eberus, Eber, good old Uncle Eber. And they started speaking Eberu. And they took off. They said, and the people started spreading out across the face of the earth. Why do you think God gave Shem, Ham, and Japheth the ability to build boats? They spent almost a century learning how to build boats from their daddy. It was a boat-building family. Why do you think? Not just to save them from the flood, but to give them the ability to travel to different lands. Now, I know this is hard to grasp, but I got two messages for you. Number one, you ain't going to get raptured out of this mess. Okay? You're not going to get raptured out of this mess. Number two, I don't know. I guess I could talk about the bankruptcy of modern evangelicalism. The proof of that is the condition of our society. I don't know how you could. I don't know anybody who would even want to dispute that. Oh, it's the devil is too powerful. I don't know. Aren't we supposed to be the salt, preserve our cultures? Does the church believe in culture? Does the church believe in nations anymore? So these ideas are foundational to human identity and human society. And the church and pastors have been terrified to talk about them because you're essentially committing treason against the Antichrist and against the beast. How's that? To talk about separate ethnic nations is to commit treason against the beast and against the Antichrist, who wants to rule over the nations of the world in a multicultural, multi-ethnic new Babylon, Babylon the Great, with his disciples and synagogue and children in charge. Esther's the example of that. It's all tied together. We got a big lift ahead of us, and I don't care if it takes 700 years. My kids will be around. My kids will be around. My grandkids will be around. This is what it's going to take. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.